Okay, we're continuing in Kiddushin Lamed Beis Amud Aleph 32a. We're in the middle of the discussion on a machlokes if honoring parents has to come from your money or your parents' money. And even if it's coming from your parents' money, if they don't have any money, then even if it comes from your money, which money does it come from? Your tzedakah money, which is a different account than your own personal money. Although we said, if you are, remember the halacha is, if you are a wealthy person, I'm not talking if you're a struggling person, if you're a wealthy person, it's very bad that you would use your tzedakah money to take care of your parents. If you don't have discretionary money, and now the money for your parents eats out of your basic money, and now because of that you're not going to have any tzedakah money, then you can use the tzedakah money. But this, we're still in the middle of a machlokas. Someone's is going to bring one more proof. We are about right, almost, well, about 14, 15 lines down from the top. The first word, Ta Shema. Ta Shema. Come and learn. We're going to give a proof from a braisa. Shalu es Reb Eliezer. They asked Reb Eliezer the following question, a question we have already discussed. We already brought this. Ad heichen kibud aveim, how far does one go to honor one's father and mother? Amar lahem, he said, you know how far you go? Kedei sheyitol arniki, it goes to the point where the father takes a wallet, v'yizirku lafan of liyam b'fan, he throws it into the sea in front of his son, Veinam achlimo, and he does not embarrass him. Okay? Now, the question is, you know, why would he embarrass him? And that he's not embarrassing. So look at the notes over here. One of the commentaries says, to try to prevent the loss of the wallet. Right? So Gemara says, there are a lot of challenges here. Because the Bryce's choice of this case in the illustration of honor is apparently difficult, as it would seem more likely for it to fall in the category of reverence. That's one question. It's not exactly an example of kavod as opposed to yira. Remember, kavod are positive things you do. Yira is things you don't do. But anyway, that's one interpretation, that you don't embarrass them in order to avoid the loss. However, the Maram writes that since the father receives some satisfaction from the act of throwing the wallet into the sea, it's then similar to the physical satisfaction, food and drink, with which the father must be provided under the law of honor. Why would the father want to throw it in the sea? Must have get some enjoyment out of it, no? Let's say, for example, you're very angry at somebody and you decide to break a plate. Okay, now, at the bottom line, why are you breaking the plate? Okay, we understand you have no self-control. But at the end of the day, don't you get a little satisfaction of breaking the plate? Obviously, the father threw the wallet in the sea. He must not be totally 100% mentally there, but certainly he's getting some pleasure out of throwing it in the sea. To that extent, they're going to say that's how far honor goes. Be that as it may, but what you are not allowed to do is to shame them. Why would you shame them? So the commentary says, no, so you try to prevent the loss, but you got to let that happen. So now the question is like this. What's been our discussion? Honor your parents. Does it come from your parents' money or from your money? So now, based on this, we're saying, how far does honor go? Your father throws a wallet into the ocean and you don't shame him. So the question is, well, whose wallet is he throwing in? And whose money are we worried about? If you hold that the honoring of a parent comes from the father's money, the father's assets are used over here. So, my nafka lemena. So what does it matter? In other words, the father's assets are used to supply his own needs. So whose wallet must have been thrown in this case? No, the father's. Because what's providing the honor for the father? The fact that it's going into the sea. Right? So certainly it's referring to the father throwing his own wallet. A son's not, right? If you're saying it comes from the father, if it's from the son, then you'd be required to let your wallet get thrown. You have to use your money. Remember, the father's getting a pleasure out of this. But, you know, let's look at this a little different than, let's say, your father wants to go to an amusement park. Let's give an example. Your father wants to go to, what's the one called over there? Wonderland. Okay, I understand it costs a bit of money to go to Wonderland. A one-time deal, right? I don't know what it costs. $50, $60. Let's say you think it's a foolish activity. You're the son. Your dad says, you know, son, I want to go to Wonderland. Role reversal here, right? And you think it's a foolish activity. As far as you're concerned, it's a reis geworfen geld. It's like throwing money into the sea, isn't it? So, why do you want to do that, Dad? Well, I like going on the roller coaster. You say to yourself, you're a Michiganer. You're 75 years old. You want to go on a roller coaster? You still need thrills in life? As far as I'm concerned, throwing a sea, okay. You know, you want to go, Dad? You spend the money. I'll drive you there. Or if I have to pay, then I got to pay. That's the machlokas. So what's the difference if Dad says, I want to throw a wallet in the sea? And it's $50. Why? That's fun. Obviously, the father's getting some sick benefit, sick pleasure. It's so different than going on a roller coaster. It's also a sick pleasure. I mean, if you look at it as a mature individual who's a rational being, who serves God, you wonder why in the world you have to do such things, right? But, you know, that kids want to have fun. Okay, so we give in to this fun, right? So I'm saying so what's if the guy says, my fun is to throw a wall in the sea? It's no different than spending money and throwing it away on Narish Kitan. So I'm just trying to say, like, it's not that different. Obviously, we say, what do you mean, throwing money away? Well, what do you mean? If it gives him pleasure, what's it going on a roller coaster gives you pleasure? And you're throwing money away to go on that. So point being, so if you're going to say it's from the father's needs, so then whose wallet got thrown in? The father's. So if that's the case, so why would the kid want to embarrass his father? Remember, we said, how far does honoring go? Even if your father was a wallet in the sea, you don't shame and embarrass him. Well, if it's the father, if you honor the father with the father's money, that means it's the father throwing his wallet away. So what's the limits of honoring your father that if he throws it away? See, even if he throws it away, you can't embarrass him. What do you care? It's your father's money. Now, if it's your money, if you have to honor him from your money, we can understand that your father's going to throw your wallet away, and you're not going to be able to recoup that because you have to be able to spend money for your father's pleasures. Now you can understand why he would want to embarrass the father, and that's how far honoring goes. Not only you have to pay for it, but you can't even shame him for it. So it would seem to be a proof that the honor has to come from your money. Otherwise, why would you even think to shame your father? That's the proof that they wish to give. To which the Gemara says, no, it really could even be from the father's money. Why would we have to say then that you can't embarrass your father? Well, very simple. If you know many years ago, when Joe Tenenbaum, Zichrono Livracha, was alive, right? His children wanted to take him to court, and they sued. It was a whole big thing over there. Yeah, the honorary Robert Kaplan, the Solicitor General of Canada, took his father to court. And why did he do it? Because they maintained the father was crazy. Why? Because he was giving too much money to tzedakah. Right? They didn't want him to do that. He was legendary in that. Now why would they do that? For what reason? Because there ain't going to be enough of an inheritance left. Right? Why am I giving you this mushel? Now you can see why the kid be mad at the father. Dad, you know, one day you're going to die. You know, you should live long, but don't use up all the money, please. And when you die, I'm going to get the money. Now you went and threw $1,000 in the sea. Now you can see why the kid would get angry. Even if it's the father's money, you would shame him and say, don't you ever do that again, you idiot, you. And blah, 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 and shame him and this and that. Because every time he throws another $1,000 in the ocean, it's less Yerusha, less inheritance to get. So therefore, the difference is, this refers to a son who's a potential heir. And if he's a potential heir, he would, yes, even if it's from the father's money, would be tempted to embarrass him. And to that point, we still say you're not allowed to embarrass the father. So now that we're talking about not embarrassing the father, we bring another story where we had to go far to not embarrass the father. V'chiha de Rabba bar Ravuna. Similarly to a story of Rabba, the son of Ravuna. De Ravuna kora shirai ba'an paraba brei. One day, Ravuna tore silks in the presence of his son. Okay? Now, this would get the son, the son very angry. So, and why did the father do this? The father was saying to himself, Omar, the father said to himself, Ezel, the Ichsi, let me see, Irasach, Ilo Rasach. I want to test my son to see if he's going to get angry or not. How well does he fulfill the mitzvah of honoring his father? Okay? Now, and it seems, you know, we're not sure whose silks are torn. It could be either way. It could be the son's silks. That would definitely get the son angry. Or it could be the father's silk if he wants to inherit it, right? But either way, ripping up silk in front of his son, he's testing him. Will he get angry? And I wonder what kind of boy I have. The more says, wait a minute, let's just stop the middle of the story over here. What I'm trying to understand, the father is testing them. Now, the more asks the question, why would the father do that? And what if Taka Vidilma Rosach, what if the kid would get angry and yell at his father? I mean, you're testing him. So in the test, one or two things are going to happen. Either he passes or fails. Now let's look at the two options here. If he passes, Baruch Hashem, but what if he fails? You're causing him to what?
To sin.
The kid's going to yell at his father. That's going to be an Avera. So Vidilma Rosach, maybe he gets angry. Vikover, the father will transgress an Avera of what? Alifne Iver lo site michshol. You can't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. And here, what's the stumbling block in front of the blind? You're tempting your son to transgress the Avera of being upset, screaming at his father. So that's a problem, isn't it? No. Rav Huna was very smart. Rav Huna, before he did that, he did it in a way that his son could not transgress. How is that? Demochale likare. He already waived his honor due to him. We'll see shortly on this page, Gemara is going to say, if a father forgives his honor, the honor is forgiven. In other words, let's say, for example, you're not allowed to sit in your father's seat. Okay. What if you ask your father, do you waive your honor and allow me to sit in your seat? So the father says, yeah, I waive my honor. In other words, it's only an avera if you hurt your father's feelings. What if the father says, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me if you don't do this. You know, that's why, you know, some people judge favorably the fact, you know, when a parent comes into the room, at least once a day, a child has to stand fully, has to get up out of a seat and stand to their full length. A father or a mother, once a day. We don't see this. So what's the answer? So first answer is poor parenting. For sure. It's not a question where Oman didn't know. When you were younger, you didn't know. You didn't know how it is. But the second answer is we assume that the parents are mochel. They have forgave their honor. They let it go. They don't want to fight with their kids. Whatever. I wouldn't suggest it. I don't think it's a good idea. But anyway, but it's at least a justification so the children are not transgressing every day. Be that as it may, so Rav Huna, before he ripped the silk, he says like this, I'm testing my son. And should my son yell at me, I know I'm putting him, I'm already foregoing my honor, and I'm mochel, I forgive him if he yells at me. In other words, I set him up, and I'm not particular if he yells at me, so therefore he can't be sinning, because I already forego my honor. Well, we're not done yet, but there's still another problem. It's another avera. What other avera could be involved in ripping up silk?
Destroying.
There's an avera, there's a law of the Torah called Baal Tashchis. You're not allowed to just stop and say break something. Well, let's say Barry's very upset at his iPad. It just keeps on not flicking up. He's tried 17 times. The whole system is going nuts. He just spent hours, he takes the iPad, said, the hell with it, and throws it around and breaks it. Well, on top of everything else, you have now transgressed another avera of destruction, wanton destruction. You can't do that either in the Torah. So over here as well, the Gemara is going to ask, v'ha-ka'avar mishum baltashkes. Now the father violated the command of thou shall not destroy, where's the root of that? Just look at the notes. It says when the Jews surround a city, lay siege against a non-Jewish city, you're not allowed to destroy the fruit trees. Okay? The way it's worded, it applies at all times, not just during wartime. So just like you can't wantonly destroy a fruit tree, you can't destroy anything else. So how can he go and rip up the silk in front of his son, even to do a test? It's interesting, the Gemara does not give the following answer. Gemara does not say, well, what do you mean it was a waste? That's the money he had to spend to make the test. You know, I thought of that answer right off the bat. So what do you mean? Well, if I want to make a test, I want to see what my kid's holding. Now, why do you think he tests his son? Just stop? I guess if the kid would yell and scream, he says, okay, now I know I got to sit him down. I got to work on his anger management. That's a very important thing. So how much money you got to spend to do that? You know, don't police spend tens of thousands of money throwing money around to set up sting operations? Right? You give the guy $5,000 to buy some weed, whatever, and you can lose it sometimes. It's got some money you got to spend to take a test. It's got to spend some money to earn some meatos. So that's the answer I was thinking of. You know, but the Gemara doesn't think like me, so I guess I'm not thinking properly, or maybe the Gemara has a better answer. So he says like this. He tore it along the seams. So all it requires is just to resew the seams. Not, you know, if you rip it in the middle, well, then you've damaged it. If you just rip the seams, you just have to sew up the seams. It's not a big deal. And therefore, their value remains the same. Well, anyway, what did happen in the story? The story was that Rava did not get angry as his father, Baruch Hashem. That means that's why he is an Amor in the Gemara. He did not get angry. But now the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. What kind of test could that be? If you rip the silk along the seams, then the kid knows it's not damaged. So why would the kid get angry and yell at you if he sees something along the seams? And that's what it says. Well, very could be because if you're going to say that answer, so since it wasn't destructive, how could that get him angry? So that's why. So it didn't really prove anything. The answer is no. He waited for a time when Rabbah was under a lot of stress already. You know, when you're not under stress, you have time to look at things clearly and notice that it was along the seam, not to get upset. But sometimes, you know, when you're on edge, you're not, you know, you make very quick decisions. You don't look at everything. So he waited for a time to Ovid Lay Bishas Rishre. He did it at a time of anger. In other words, he saw his son was upset over something else. So now he says, oh, I've been waiting. Now that my son is upset about something else, I always wanted to test him to see if he gets really angry. So now I'll rip the silk in front of him, but I'll rip it in a way that's along the seams. But since he's already upset about something else, he's not going to be noticing it's along these seams. And therefore, it's a legitimate test to see if he gets angry or not. So Gemara brings this story to show you again how far does Kibud Avayim go, that although Rabbah thought that it was greatly damaged, he still did not get angry at his father. Okay, moving on to the next sub-subject within this area. This will touch upon, this is going to be a bit of a story, halacha here, in the midst of a story, and it's going to be touching on the following issue. How does one go about correcting one's father in a respectful way? Let's say your father does something wrong. Let's say in Torah he's doing the wrong halacha or something like that. He's learning something wrong. You're the son. You see the father's doing wrong. We're talking about how you have to respect the father. You just go say, hey, Dad, you're wrong? Is that how you do it? So that's the following story. It's a little bit tricky, but if we pay attention, we'll get it over here. Masni le Rav Yecheskel l'rami brei. The Gemara now discusses where Rav Yecheskel taught his son Rami, his son was Rami, he taught him a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the following Mishnah. This is a teaching he taught his son. Now, we're going to talk about now, we know there's different types of punishments for capital crimes we do, and there's four different punishments. Two of them, one is Shreifa, one is burning someone. Okay, remember how that happened, Shelley? Remember from the Rambam what burning is? What do you have to do to burn somebody?
Hot coals.
That's right. You know, we don't do it the Christian way, tying it up to the stake, but rather we heat up molten lead, very hot, and you just pour it down the fellow's throat. And that will do a very quick job and not decimate the entire body. That's one type of punishment. Another type of punishment is stoning, where you take the person, you throw them off a height, and if that doesn't kill him, we throw more stones to kill him. Now, we'll see in a minute, one of these punishments is worse than the other. Okay? One of them is from a godly perspective, one is considered a more severe punishment. Now the question is, let's say you have a few people on, death row. Let's say for whatever reason, you got, 10 guys who have to be put to death. Some of them have to be put to death through burning. Others have to be put to death through stoning. And for whatever reason, they got the guys mixed up. In other words, they're not sure either who's who or who's supposed to get which punishment. Whatever, let's say they know, six guys were supposed to get stoned and four guys were supposed to get burnt. Now they're mixed up. And now the question is, we know they all need to get killed. But what death are we going to give them? And we can't give them the death they're supposed to get with certainty because we don't know who's supposed to get what. So what would you say? Using your mind, you know they all have to get killed. That's not a question. The question is it burning? Is it stoning? Well, we're mixed up. So what do we do? So just in theory, well, how would you answer it?
Give them the least.
Give them the least punishment. Because the ones who deserve the least one are getting what's coming to them. And the other ones, okay, they got a little less. But the reverse would not be good. You're not allowed to give a guy worse than he's supposed to get. So the overall theme here is, try to figure a way to give him the least punishment. That would be one line of reasoning. Now, let's say it was, like I said, let's say six people are supposed to get stoned and four are supposed to get burned. What other possibility can we say? Go with the majority. Since the majority are that, each one we view as he's from the majority. So that might be another line of reasoning. I'm just spelling out the lines of reasonings we can use over here as we get into this discussion. So anyway, Rabbi Yecheskel is teaching Rami the following Mishnah, which says the following. Hanisrafim v'niskalim. Listen carefully to the wording here. Hanisrafim. The ones that were condemned to burn were mixed in with a group of criminals that were meant to be stoned. Now from the wording, when you say one, the first A got mixed into B, it would appear that B had more than A, because why would you say it got mixed in? One guy, it didn't say the two got mixed, it said Hanisraf and the burnt got into the ones that are stoned, which would seem to imply there's more guys who are supposed to get stoned and less guys supposed to get burned got in there. Alright, that's the way the Gemara is going to analyze this. Anyway, what's the law? What do we do? Remember, the father is teaching this to the son, this law. So, Rabbi Shina says, Yadunu Biskila, give them all stoning. Why? Shasreifa Chamura, because burning is worse. Right? So therefore, and this is according to Rabbi Shimon. It's a machlokas. Reb Shimon holds burning is a worse punishment. We're going to see later others disagree with this. Reb Shimon holds it's the worse stoning, and therefore, if they're mixed in, the law says we got to give them the least amount. We're going to see the Chachamim argue. Chachamim say that stoning is the worst. But anyway, this is Reb Shimon who says burning is the worst. So give them the least punishment. Give them all sreifa. Okay? Now, now remember, who said this to who? Rabbi Yecheskel taught this to Rami, his son. Okay. Amar Leh, Rabbi Yehuda Bray. Upon hearing this, Rabbi Yehuda, his other son, a second son, right? Rabbi Yehuda was listening to Rabbi Yecheskel teaching Rami. Rabbi Yehuda, the other son, heard what the father said. Now he's going to correct the father's mistake. Abba, father, lo tisnei hachi, do not teach the Mishnah this way. Okay, this is not the right way to teach it, because if you're going to teach it this way, it's going to cause problems. Take a look at the note over here, I mentioned this already. The phrasing, hanisravim baniskalim, criminals condemned to be burned became mixed with criminals condemned to be stoned, implies that those condemned to be stoned outnumbered those condemned to be burned. It's a rule. When it says A gets into B, it always means that B is the greater amount. Okay? So it could be maybe only one criminal was condemned to be burned. So anyway, there seems to be this majority that the father didn't recognize in bringing this machlokas. He just brought Reb Shimon's opinion. Stone them all. Why? Because stoning is the leaser of the punishments. But we're saying it was those who were burnt got mixed up in a larger amount than those that had to be stoned. She says, Dad, don't learn it like this. In other words, my area, why do you have to say the reason is kasreifa chamura, because burning is a more severe sin, like Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon is saying that, and that's why we stone them all. Why don't we just say a different reason? Tebuklei de Ruben iskalamino. Say we're going with the majority. Since a minority fell on a majority, we go with the majority, and therefore it could be that the point of it, what's more severe of a punishment is not the main point. Let's say they were even equal. Let's say stoning and burning were of equal point of view. It still would be stoning, not because that one is more strict. And that was the point the father was adding. He was saying, Reb Shimon said, you give him skila, and he was saying, well, it must be Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon holds that burning is the lesser punishment. Is the greater punishment, and they were given all the lesser punishment. He says, why is that so? So look at the brackets. To illustrate this, his view that burning is the more severe penalty, Reb Shimon should have chosen a case in which that is the decisive factor. In other words, you should have picked where they were equal and give them all stoning, right? But such a case is the one in which the majority are condemned to burning, let's say. Where, were it not for Shimon's view, that burning is more severe than we all be. In other words, if you're saying the point of Reb Shimon is that burning's worse, so give him the least punishment, so why was the case where there were more people who had to get stoned? If you're saying that the logic is go with the least punishment, he should have picked a case where more people were supposed to get burnt, and even though that's the majority, we go with the reason that it's too severe of a punishment. So there's something wrong with the way you taught over the law, Dad. The way you're teaching this Mishnah, that Reb Shimon is saying we stone them, why? Because stoning is the least punishment, so why was the case where there were more people who had to get stoned? That itself would be a reason. Should have picked a different case. Rather, Dad, you should have taught the Mishnah like this. Remember, the Mishnahis were just saying over what they heard. One little letter makes all the difference in Pshat in the Mishnah, right? So you're saying that the ones who got burnt got mixed up with the ones who were stoned. Dad, learn it like this. But this is how the Mishnah should be taught. Just reverse the words. And he scolded him and he shrubbed him. The ones who were stoned got mixed up with the ones who had to get burnt. And that makes the ones who were burnt the majority. And now you see Reb Shimon's opinion is very clear. That even though the majority are supposed to get burnt, we still give them skila because that's the lesser of the punishment. So what do you see? The son was kind of sharp in how he showed the father made a mistake. He mama said, Dad, don't learn it this way. Dad, you are wrong. So just keep that in mind. More will come back around and say, what kind of son tells his son this way? So you have to keep in mind, A, the halachas that are going on over here, and B, the reason we brought all this is mainly for kibud av v'aim. But hold on. The father said, wait a minute, wait, you think I don't know what I'm talking about? He was a big scholar, said, you think I don't know what I'm talking about? Amalei, he says, if you want to say that we should reverse it, and the reason we're reversing it is because Reb Shimon is really saying it's my point. Wait a minute, let's look at the next part of that, Bryce. We have to hear the Chachamim's opinion. Chachamim reverse it. They hold that stoning is worse. So they're going to argue on Reb Shimon over here, right? But now we've got to figure, well, why are they arguing? Now, if you want to change it, so what is it now? You're saying that more guys are supposed to get burnt, got mixed in with, or rather, the lesser of stoning got mixed up with the more with burning. Reb Shimon says they all get stoned. Why? Because that's the lesser punishment. The rabbi's going to argue. What are the rabbis are going to say? Because the rabbis say stoning is the worst punishment. What are they going to say? They're going to say it should be what? They should all get burnt, right? But wait a minute, if they should all get burnt, but there, now you've reversed it, the burnt are the majority, so now we can do it on the logic of majority and not because burning is a worse thing. Let's see what they say. If you're going to tell me the majority are burnt, they must say, let's look in the last part. Say, give them burning. Why? Because stoning is worse. But wait a minute, why do you have to say that? Say because burning is the majority. If you switched it, my year to skila chamura, why are you saying that skila is worse? Tape of glaze. The rabbis could say the reason the Reuben is from, because the majority would love to get burnt. So the way you learn it isn't any better than me. That's what the father went back to the son. Amalei, the son answered, no, my way is still good. Hasam over there, Rabbanu the rabbis were only answering according to Reb Shimon's logic. You're right, the rabbis could have said simple, there's a majority burnt, finish. But they're going against Rav Shimon's logic. Rav Shimon, you want to let him off, why? Because you say that burning is a worse sin. Well, we say no, because really stoning is the worst sin. So they're just going against his logic. But they didn't need to really give that reason, because the majority would have been enough. Sometimes, even though you could give a simple answer, you want to show that the other guy's wrong. Because the Karmic, because Rav Shimon said Shrei v'chamura, burning is worse. So they went and said, no, lo, skila chamura, skila's worse. So they were answering according to his opinion, but they could have given a different answer. So therefore the rabbi, it's okay this way. Be that as it may, what do you see? The Rav Yehuda really said it sharp to his father that he made a mistake. So now, another rabbi who heard the whole conversation, Shmuel, goes over to Yehuda the son and gives him a rebuke. Now says, this wasn't the way to talk to your dad. Amar le Shmuel, le Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel said to Yehuda, Shinina, oh sharp one, you think you're so smart, lo tema lo labuchachi, you shouldn't speak to your father this way. Is not the way to talk to your dad. I mean, there's other more polite ways to say this, as you see in the following braisa. The time we learned in a braisa, Haresha Hoya Aviv over Aldivrei Torah. What if you see your father is violating a Torah law? So look, Al Yomar, you cannot say to him, Abba, Avartha, Dad, you did a sin. You can't do it straight like that. Elo Aimer, but say to him like this, softer. Say, Abba, Kat Kasavadur, such and such is written in the Torah. The more jumps on that. Is that what he really is supposed to say? God, Kaf, Kosva, Torah. You're going to say that that's what's written in the Torah? That's also not a very nice way to say it. Right? So we're going to say, you're still giving him pain. It's the same thing as saying he's violated it. So how does that help? So he said, no, that's not what he meant. Ella Omar, you say like this. Abba, Dad, can you help me understand this verse? And just give him the verse that happens to be the verse of the sin that he's doing. Abra mikra kasav b'torah kach, following verse in the Torah, and then quote the verse that prohibits the father's behavior. The son makes no direct connection between the verse and the father's misdeed. Realize the father. In other words, Dad, I'm having trouble understanding this verse. I'm not sure the exact shot here. You know, let's say for example, chveis, you saw the father was carrying something muktza. You saw him carrying some muktza. He wasn't really carrying. So the next day, you say, Dad, I'm learning, I just haven't been learning Mishnah Berurah, and I'm having trouble understanding this line over here. And this line says, let's say the father carried a chveis, what would be a muktza, he carried a hammer. Okay? So you find that halacha, and you say, Dad, I'm having trouble understanding this, can you just teach this to me? And he says, hey, you can't carry a hammer. Oh, thank you so much. Now, we would assume the father wouldn't be so obtuse. They wouldn't realize, wait a minute, yes, I was just carrying a hammer. And even if he's clever enough to say, oh, I wonder, that's why my kid gave it to me. Okay, but he didn't want to embarrass me. In other words, that's how you tell him the verse of the Torah that he didn't remember, and that's the way you do it.
But if you see him carrying a hammer, the longer he's carrying it, the more unbear he's doing. If you wait till the next day.
I think you have to say he did it already. That's it, you can't stop him. He did it already. It's finished.
All right, so what if it was...
But if he's in the middle, then we'd have to look into that, because then there's a whole other issue. But let's say it's done.
Yeah. Okay.
It's done. You know, he happened to do it. And so in other words, just have, or you ask him another time. He said, Dad, what's the halacha about carrying a hammer on Shabbos? I'm not sure about it. And then you do it that way. So he told him he wasn't respectful. We do not see a response from Yehuda. It seems that he had to accept. In other words, he could have said, you can always debate your father in halacha, but he said, don't teach it that way, Dad, right? That's saying you're wrong. You say, Dad, you know, wait a minute, what's the Chacham's opinion over here? Can you clarify this? Can you clarify that? And things like that. And that's a much more respectful way to say this. Okay, tomorrow we'll discuss what if you have the mitzvah of honoring your father and another mitzvah to do besides it at the same time and you only can do one, which one should you do? That's tomorrow's